On 1230 WSOO Sault Ste. Marie. For the next hour, we'll get the local scores that matter to you and hear from the coaches and players that make it happen. Now, here's your host, Dave Watson.
And good morning and welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner here on 1230 WSOO. I'm your host, Dave Watson. And on the corner today, we'll be discussing things with the Director of Athletics at Lake Superior State University, Dr. David Pateson, will stop by coming up. He's our first guest. The second half of the show, you'll hear from the Ontario Hockey League Commissioner, David Branch, on the restart plans of the OHL and things of that nature, all coming up here on Coach's Corner. All that this week in high school sports and much more. But first, to the scores that matter from last night. Sioux High's football season came to an end in Cadillac last evening, 34-14 to the Vikings. Devils had the lead 14-13 at the half, as Cadillac had an impressive second half, shutting the Devils down. Blue Devils had three four and outs to start that second half, while Cadillac scored early and often on three consecutive series, and they ran the ball very well. They have a very good quarterback in Aiden Gurdon, who really runs that option pitch very good. Cadillac runs that Veer offense, and they deserve to win the game. They were the better team on that night. So congratulations to Cadillac and Sioux High on a great season all the way to the third round of the playoffs. For the second straight year, though, Cadillac eliminates Sioux High from the postseason. The Vikings will move on to the regional final, and they will be at home again at Veterans Memorial Stadium in Cadillac. They will take on Grand Rapids, Forest Hills, Eastern, technically Ada, Michigan, right outside the Furniture City, as Forest Hills Eastern went to Whitehall and took them out back behind the woodshed. That was a very good Whitehall team, 41-13. Forest Hills Eastern, if you recall, they won an overtime past Spring Lake on the road the week before. Elsewhere, in Division II, it was an eight-man football in Division II. Cedarville's season came to an end, getting smacked hard by Powers North Central last night. And 58 points is what North Central put up on the board as they pounded Cedarville. The Trojans were never in the game. I believe it was a 58-6, something of that nature. I did not actually write down the score, my bad. And the Jets won convincingly going away, and the game was never in doubt for Powers North Central. Meanwhile, the Jets will take on Marion next, who blanked Hale 14-0. Inland Lakes Indian River wins a forfeit over Pickford yesterday, as the Panthers had that emergency school board meeting on Thursday night. They decided to move forward. They felt they could. There was a lot of controversy over it, and of course the cancel culture and social media took over, and the decision was made yesterday. The MSSA played a big role in that, and Pickford's season is over. They cannot go after a second straight state championship. They had COVID issues at Pickford. Athletic Director Mike Collins was going to stop by. I think they thought perhaps better of it. It's a very controversial situation, very stressful. Of course, you can have your opinions on it, but the best move was made that they didn't play the game. And Inland Lakes, meanwhile, will move on. And the Bulldogs will take on next in the playoffs, in the semifinals, will be Sutton's Bay. Sutton's Bay pounced Gaylord St. Mary's 38-22 last evening in action in Division II eight-man, or Division I eight-man football. Division VIII 11-man football, Iron Mountain ran all over Bark River Harris 36-14. The Mountaineers will take on Johannesburg Lewiston next, as the Cardinals took down Beale City 28-21 in a tight game. Division VII, Traverse City St. Francis goes on the road, and they take down Charlevoix 44-32. How about Nagani avenging an earlier loss to Calumet 20-19 in Division VI in the Copper Country? Meanwhile, the Miners will get today's winner between a surging Grayling team. Maybe I should use a different a different phrase there, but Grayling's really played well the last several weeks. Grayling's at Point City. Winner of that game will take on Nagani next week. Meanwhile, Division 5, Reed City gets a forfeit win over Kingsley. Kingsley had to bow out because of COVID-19, and that's disappointing for the Stags. They made that decision yesterday. Coyotes get Freeland next, who doubled up on Essexville Garber 35-14. Division 2, upset of Midland. Traverse City Central knocks off the Chemex on the road, 30-22. Trojans now will take on North Farmington next. North Farmington won by way of forfeit over South Lyon. Today in Division 3, Marquette coming off a big road win at Mount Pleasant. They're back on the road, long trek to Muskegon to take on the Big Reds, who ended the Redmen's season last year, if you recall, in Muskegon in the opener of the playoffs. Sioux AAA Indians hockey takes on Little Caesars today, 5 p.m. And then tomorrow, 10 a.m., both games at the Able Arena inside the Norris Center. That's free of charge. Bring a mask, social distance, and you can watch some hockey. Indians play this weekend with their new head coach, John Ferroni. Yes, Johnny is back. I knew he couldn't stay away. It's in his blood to coach hockey. And welcome back, coach, as he is behind the bench of the Indians. Those are the scores that matter. When we return here on Coach's Corner, you will hear from, of course, the Director of Athletics at Lake Superior State University. That's Dr. David Pateson will join us. Stick and stay. It's Coach's Corner at 11:12 here on 1230 WSOO.
The Relay for Life 4th Annual Turkey Trot
on 1230 WSOO.
And good morning and welcome back to Coach's Corner here on 1230 WSOO at 11:14 a.m. We have our good friend from Lake Superior State University with us on the line. That's Dr. David Pateson, the Director of Athletics at Lake Superior State. Good morning, Dave. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me.
First time we've been able to have Dave on the show here this year. And this is a good time to have you on, Dave, because there's been a lot of news involving Lake State Athletics this week as far as restart plans. And again, we put in quotations because this pandemic, we're in a very fluid situation, but there is plans in place. And let's start with Laker hockey, Dave. And that is right now slated to start next weekend, I believe.
Yeah, we are. It's been, quite a bit of time since we've had our last sporting event around here. And even, quite a process over the summer and fall, just trying to get protocols in place and ability to execute those things and everything related to even have the opportunity to play. Looking forward to it, but we get going next Saturday and Sunday against Michigan Tech. These will be non-conference games, even though they're against conference opponents. In fact, essentially all of our schedule will be against conference opponents. That was something we had more or less decided to do as a league, and just from a safety and precaution standpoint, plus I think a lot of the other leagues are doing the same thing, so they're not really venturing outside their boundaries too much.
A few weeks ago there, we had the commissioner of the WCHA, Bill Robertson, on, and the plan was, mm-hmm. correct me if I'm wrong, without a schedule in front of me, like a six-game non-conference schedule with league opponents, and then you go into what is, I believe, an 18-game schedule?
Right. Yeah, 9 home, 9 away, so... we won't play everybody home and away, obviously, this year. So, some places we'll travel to and some opponents will come in. It's the last series of the year against Ferris that is split. So the travel partners, basically, will split one game here and one game there over the same weekend.
Now, you look at the options, and, of course, I'm sure there's a lot on the table here with all these sports, and you have to be able to, as I like to use the term, Dave, be able to pivot and pivot quickly if something does arise, and obviously we hope it doesn't. But what are the options as far as are there things like switching venues if you have to, going on the road, pushing start dates back? But, of course, we're looking at a tight window, not a lot of wiggle room once you guys do start.
No, there just isn't. The non-conference we'll have about 3 weeks of, then we'll break, and the student athletes will head home for our holidays and then come back just after Christmas because we start back up on Friday, January 1st. There isn't a lot of wiggle room. It's going to be more about doing your due diligence in terms of following protocols and being as safe as you possibly can be. And then, quite frankly, you have to have fortune, because the virus is not such that is an easy thing to combat when you have a group of of a team of so many folks in hockey, especially, you know, 25 or 30 plus coaches and so on. And it doesn't take much to take you out of being able to play or our opponent. You know, we could be healthy and then our opponent, you know, has cases. I mean, if it is happening at the Power Five level with Wisconsin and Alabama and other schools at that level with so much they have on the line, not being able to play, and they're testing, you know, six times a week, that it just goes to show you that this is a tough needle to thread. But, you know, we're committed to moving forward on it and giving the student athletes the experience, you know, that they came here for. You know, and hopefully have some good action in the Taffy Able Arena, and then of course in the gym after January, and looking forward to it. It's been a long and laborious road to get here, to be able to have the opportunity, and we certainly want to have that chance.
You know, and we'll get to the basketball announcements here in a moment that were announced when the GLIAC will come back. But, you know, staying on hockey for a moment, the WCHA, the one thing with the WCHA, as opposed to some of these other leagues, Dave, is they have a little more as far as issues, because some of them are like the East Coast leagues. They're very regionalized, and that's what you want to keep things in a tight cluster, I guess, as possibly as you can. The ECAC is kind of like a bubble in and of itself, really. But the WCHA is a league that is spanned all the way across the Midwest and a team into the South. And then you have the Alaska schools. You know, they have a lot more hurdles to go through as far as travel and things of that nature.
Right, it is, and you know Alabama Huntsville obviously as well, and you just mentioned having to be, you know, a turn on a dime or be fluid or whatever. It was at the end of the day yesterday that we heard the announcement, or got the announcement word, that Alabama Anchorage is not going to play this year.
Alaska
they
Anchorage
opted out of all their sports for the winter session, and it was kind of a last minute decision. So that was a trip that we had on our books to schedule to go to Alaska's second series in January, and so that no longer will happen. So this is the year we're in. It is COVID, 2019 and 20, I guess, and things are going to change in front of us constantly, and they have throughout this process. It's really trying to keep your feet on the ground, but the ground keeps shifting, you know, and it just, you just have to be ready to adapt and do the best you can.
You know, you mentioned Alaska. There was a big news yesterday as far as involving college hockey, because I'm sure you saw the headline as well on the ESPN, and of course all the sports networks had it. The Ivy League, which has been the leader in closing things and canceling things, they did it last year with the end of their season in winter sports. They're the first ones to start it, same thing in the fall, and now they've said they will not have a winter sports seasons, which affects obviously quite a few college hockey programs in the ACAC and Hockey East as well. They will not have sports through the Ivy League, which is not surprising, because again, they've been the first ones through the gate here.
Yeah, it is. That isn't entirely shocking either, that the Ivy League made that decision, because they certainly were the first out back in March, that they had canceled their NCAA men's Division I basketball conference tournament, and decided to send only their regular season champ. That was kind of the first a domino that maybe a lot of people didn't catch, and then obviously the tournament got canceled. Then it was the NBA or the NBA, and then the tournament, and then the dominoes started to fall very, very quickly in all the sports. I think it's a little different this time around. I think people are, committed to playing kind of across the board. You saw that with even in the higher levels, you know, the Big Ten initially. Football opted, you know, to not play in the fall, and then reversed course. So I think, you know, it's a balancing act that is very difficult to strike, in the sense that, you know, safety obviously comes first, and you have to be committed to that more than anything, which is the reason for all the discussion, all the meetings, all the protocols, and all the execution phases that we have to deal with. And, you know, all that stuff is challenging. And then, again, like I said, if you do all those things right, you have a chance to play. Then you have to be a little fortunate.
Yep.
You have to be fortunate that, you know, you didn't sit in the class next to somebody who didn't know they had it, right? You know, or your visiting team that's coming in, you know, doesn't find out the last minute, you know, that they have a positive test and it takes them out of the ability to play. It's, you know, but at the same time, you know, you have the mental health of, you know, you got competitive people that want to play, and the mental health of kind of having the, you know, the carpet pulled out from under the feet or whatever, probably a few times at this point in time. And, you know, we're ready and committed to going, and will. And if, you know, if that becomes, a challenge that we can't meet, then, you know, we'll have to make that decision at that time.
Looking at the WCHA, I imagine the postseason might look a little different once, hopefully, we get to that point.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm sorry, what was the question?
When you get to the WCHA postseason, is it going to look different? Obviously, with Anchorage now bowing out, things of that nature, but has there been a plan this year for postseason play in the WCHA?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it will look very similar. I know we've had discussions on that. I can't recall whether that was actually finalized or not, but, you know, and again, it'll be a little more simplified, but it'll take very similar path to the past years. I think we may only have four in it. I'm not sure. So I'm sorry that I don't remember exactly where we were at.
Lastly, to talk about hockey, and we'll move over to talking about basketball and the GLIAC starting back up. But attendance, obviously, that will be in accordance with county officials and Chippewa County Health Department, things of that nature. But that announcement, I would imagine, would be next week. If so, and what kind of a percentage the Able Arena holds of capacity? I think in the neighborhood of 4,000. But obviously, right, you guys are in lockstep with the county health department on this one.
Yeah, it's really a state restriction, and where we are in lockstep with the county health department is essentially in when there are positive cases and how those are traced. And you know, they essentially make decisions on sidelining people, quarantining them, or whatever that might be in close proximity to folks that have positive cases. For us, we haven't had many. We've been fortunate so far. Not to say we haven't had any, we have, but we've been fortunate in comparison to our counterparts, and our campus has been the same way. In comparison to our counterparts, we've been so far performing pretty well. I think I got on that track and kind of forgot where the rest of the question was.
A percentage of attendance.
Attendance. Yeah, the attendance is capacity is going to be limited to 500. That's a state guideline. It's 20% of your capacity or 500, whichever. Or, you know, it can't go over 500. So 500 is the most that we could do. Actually, we've just posted that on our website, so folks can look at how that is going to work. At least it's up there in a very general sense. But we will be. It's tough because we have, you know, averaged 2,000 people each of the last 2 years, and you know, to squeeze that into 500 is not an easy proposition. So we've been going about that and consulting with you know, different aspects. Folks on campus and so forth too, because we got, you know, and really whittled this down to start with a very stakeholder. So our students, our faculty and staff, our longtime season seat holders, our partners, you know, that are sponsors, Laker Club, and so on. And those are the ones that will have the first access, but even there, it's shoehorning because we don't have enough seats even for that group. So we've got a system in place. We're going to be contacting each of those respective groups between now and Monday, and how that's going to affect each of their areas specifically. But if there are any additional seats available, we will put them out publicly, on a game by game basis. It'd be just, you know, probably the day, likely the day before, you know, but that'll be the announcements people have to kind of watch for online on LSSULakers.com to look for those details.
Now, would it just be, if that happens and there's ticket sales out there, would it just be online sales, Dave?
Yeah, we are not going to open the box office.
Okay, that's what I figured. I wanted to clarify.
Yeah, so everything will be done with advanced distribution. So, yeah, some of those will be printed and mailed or whatever, but a lot of this will be electronically done. So you can do the print at home piece of paper or have it on your phone and whatever, and you come through and we scan you in that way. But all of that's going to be observed inside of, you know, all the social distancing protocols will be observed inside of Taffy. So what we did was, you know, I said, with Hunter Perry, who handles our ticketing operation, and myself, we walked the facility, we went through and knew what our capacity was, we eyeballed everything, and then laid out essentially what amounted to 250 pairs of seats, and then spread those out. So the expectation will be for folks to be in the locations that's on their tickets, okay? And if they're not, they're probably going to be talked to about that. the rest of the protocols are essentially, you know, we'll probably won't, you know, we'll try to avoid any sort of social gathering, you know,
right,
in the hallways or, you know, intermission and all that sort of stuff. So, I don't want to sound like it's overly strict, but it kind of is,
mm-hmm.
Just because we, you know, again, you know, everything is, you know, we don't want to be in an event where this is, you know, going to cause any issues, all right? And so if people observe it and, you know, and it's a couple members of the family sitting together, you know, that's probably fairly safe, right? But, you know, I think you're, if I remember right, you're a Notre Dame fan, aren't you?
Yes.
Right? Okay,
yeah.
Well, and
you don't want an incident like they had.
Phenomenal win, but you know, let's hope we didn't. You know, the student body rushing the field didn't cause the team any issues down the road. You know, so,
well, you know, I looked at their kids and they snapped the fourth longest winning streak in college football history. But you know, sometimes you lose your minds. But yeah, that would probably give athletic directors a heart attack seeing that.
Yeah, I think it might have done that. You know, here is like where the, you know, honestly, maybe their most exciting and biggest signature win in maybe a couple of decades, right?
At least.
And here, you know, and you can't blame students for being excited in this kind of tradition of rush the field after something
right.
like that. But you know, again, that's obviously that wasn't in the game plan of facility operations to have that happen, because there certainly was no social distancing there.
No.
So, you know, it really is going to be a matter of people being good about it, you know, and you got to put a little trust in them too. And I don't think we're not going to have an issue like that, obviously, but it does show you how hard it is.
Yes, indeed. 11:32 here on Coach's Corner. Dr. David Pateson with us with Lake Superior State University. The other big news this week, we knew it was coming, and that is the GLIAC has announced that they'll restart. They have restart plans for, of course, basketball and their winter sports, starting with basketball January 7th. So there's a plan in place for some hoops there, Dave.
Yeah, well, we're excited about that, too. Some changes to that as well this year. We're used to, you know, traveling, both men and women, together on a road trip, and playing a Thursday night and a Saturday afternoon, typically against two different opponents. But because again, tr- trying to narrow down the risk factor with COVID. This has been handled a little bit differently this year, and when the men are traveling, the women will be home on the same weekend. So we're splitting the teams this year. And instead of going and playing a Thursday against, say, Northwood and a Saturday against Saginaw, we would just go to Northwood and play two. And then Saginaw would come up and play us for two. So it's a little bit of a different configuration. And then it'll be more of a Friday or Saturday, or Saturday and Sunday games against those same opponents. So that, again, all done in the mindset of trying to reduce the number of interactions and make this as, just reduce the chance for risk, which, you know, an exposure. And if there's exposure, obviously, unfortunately, that can take your team out for a couple weeks.
Absolutely. The other thing, and you might have mentioned this, Dave, I apologize if I'm, of course, repeating it, but I noticed as well when the teams play, they'll play the same opponents, but like you stated, like, for example, the men would be on the road and the women would be at home against a Wayne State and things of that nature. But, I think everybody was not surprised, because the biggest thing is to limit, you don't want to limit as much traffic as you, unnecessary traffic as you possibly can. And that made a lot of sense to split it up in this situation.
I think so, absolutely. It did. It causes us some additional operational issues, which I won't get into. But even knowing that, and from a logic standpoint, I certainly couldn't argue with it, and thought it was a good call. So we're supportive of it.
Sounds good. Is there anything else that we did not cover, Dave, that you would like to cover before we move on?
No, I think that's a good start. You know, the rest of the sports obviously will get going in the spring. Volleyball, which is typically a fall sport, will start around mid-February. So that's a big change for them. So some of the sports that were in the fall get shifted to the spring. I think the only season we will not have this year that is kind of canceled altogether is the cross-country season, because a lot of those athletes are in indoor and outdoor track too, so they – having the cross season didn't make sense this year, I guess. But everybody else is scheduled to compete as we stand today. Hopefully, that will hold. You know, we know there's a lot of trends out there nationally that show how challenging that's going to be. But we're committed to doing it as long as it's safe and we can. I think, from a big standpoint from the folks out there listening to, I think, kind of knowing what the hockey ticket situation is, I just continue to kind of monitor our athletic website, LSSULakers.com, for updates and our social media, because we'll continuously put that information out. But there's some information now that they can look at.
The Coach's Corner with Dave Watson on 1230 WSOO.
Welcome back to Coach's Corner here on 1230 WSOO. We are now joined by the Ontario Hockey League Commissioner, David Branch. Good morning, David. Thank you for joining us here on Coach's Corner.
Good to be with you. Thank you very much.
All right. And, of course, a lot of the discussions going on about restarting of these leagues and various sports. And, of course, we wanted to get you on to talk about what's going on. Last week we talked to Sioux Greyhounds General Manager Kyle Raftus. And right now, there are plans in place, but as we well know, the COVID-19 is still well among us right now and surging in several parts of the world, in particular, of course, the United States and where we're located here in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. And there is a plan, though, for the OHL to come back, and right now it looks like February?
Correct. We've identified February, as you've just stated. You also, I think, appropriately and rightly, introduced the fact that, as we've seen from the outset, this virus is so fluid. It's ever-changing, sometimes for the good, depending on where you are and what you're and how you're looking at it, and sometimes it's becoming more challenging. And of late, the challenges have not gotten any smaller. So we've got our work cut out for us. We know that, but in order to succeed in anything, you must have a plan. And I give credit to our teams in the Ontario Hockey League. They've been very, very supportive. We've been unified on our approach on how we can best serve the best interests of the most important people in the game, and that's our players and our fans. So it's a lot to do, a lot being done, and we're just hopeful, like everyone, that things will start to subside somewhat as it relates to the pandemic.
You know, for folks on the U.S. side, and we talked about this last week with Kyle, and that is, you know, in Canada, there is, as far as the government has, you know, pretty much wide-ranging authority over this, and when you guys start and you have a sports minister and things of that nature, and, you know, the working with, try to stay in lockstep, obviously, with the province and the Canadian government is vital in this situation for the OHL and all of the Canadian Hockey League.
That is correct. I mean, we've got several layers here. Firstly, at the Canadian Hockey League level, the three leagues, we're dealing with the federal government. They've been very, very open for good discussion and dialogue, offering some thoughts and opinions and recommendations on our return to play plans. And we are currently working through that. We've had tremendous support from the federal government with our partner, who are hosting the World Junior Championships starting Boxing Day this year. And that bodes well moving forward for all of us, quite frankly. And as a hockey fan, I think we all certainly, many of us, look forward to the Christmas period for the World Junior Tournament. At the provincial level, we have the same areas to address with our provincial government, the various ministries, not least of which, too, we must deal with the health authorities. And public health is really making, at the end of the day, the decisions as to when we can return and play and what it will look like. And I think that's ever so evidenced with the NBA currently, where the Toronto Raptors may not be able to play home this year, their home games, and are looking at a U.S. center. But a little premature to suggest that, other than it clearly illustrates the value and the importance of public health.
You know, David, you look at this as far as with the regular season right now, and again, this could change. These are just plans. You know, February is a long ways out, especially when you look with COVID-19 and, of course, the roller coaster ride that has been. But how long of a regular season are we looking at right now if you're able, and we obviously hope able to start in February?
Our plans right now, Dave, are for a 40-game regular season, followed by playoffs, as we normally would, although some adjustments made that instead of 16 teams making the playoffs, it'll be 8, and so forth. And then we have plans, of course, for our national championship, the Memorial Cup, which those of us in Ontario are really excited to have the opportunity to host this great event.
You know, Dave, as well, you know, has there been any talk at all about a bubble format? And would that work with the OHL?
It would work, but the key to that is the financial model. That's
right.
Extremely, extremely challenging for us. It is something, quite frankly, we cannot afford. For the World Junior Tournament, it is going to be in a bubble, as we got to know it through the National Hockey League. But it really is impractical, given the resources that we have at our disposal. But there's other ways to do things, and you get creative, and that's where we hope we get some buy-in from our government agencies and health organizations.
You know, and it's easy to sit there and say, oh, you could do a bubble. And the NHL, of course, I think did the best bubble, and the NBA as well, but the NHL, and I knew that would work because hockey players in particular, it's been my experience, overall, you give them the rules and this is what you got to do. All they want to do is play hockey. They want to compete, and they'll do it. So I wasn't surprised at the NHL able to pull it off as flawless pretty much as it was, but at the same time, it was expensive for them. And, you know, it wasn't just that, they did it, and they have more of a coin to be able to throw out there to be able to do it, but at the same time, these things aren't cheap, and that's the big thing you got to remember. If you do go do that, it's going to take some financial constraint to be able to pull it off.
Oh, without question. Kudos to the National Hockey League, who, by the way, through this pandemic, have been outstanding leaders to the hockey community, both in USA Hockey and the CHL. They've had regular Zoom calls around return to play, exchanging some best practices among, all the leagues. And that's been, I think, very, very beneficial, and as well goes to the leadership of the NHL. I mean, as you point out, hockey players are just an incredible athlete, and we take great credit in playing a part in their growth and development at a very formative time in their life when they play junior hockey. The families that they come from, the communities that they represent, the youth hockey programs they've been part of, all of this comes together with, a very special athlete, very special person. So, yes, the player buys in, but the attention to detail and the incredible investment that the NHL made, millions and millions of dollars on testing alone. But, hey, they wanted to complete their season. They wanted to play for the Stanley Cup, and they were able to do that. So that's great for hockey. It's great for their league.
David Branch, Commissioner of the Ontario Hockey League, joins us here on Coach's Corner. And, David, you look at it right now, you have three teams in the Ontario Hockey League that are in U.S. cities, and Erie, Flint, and Saginaw, border closed right now. What's the talk as far as to integrate those teams with the rest of the Ontario Hockey League when you get going in February? Obviously, the greatest thing would be if the border was open, but we don't know if that's going to be able to happen at that particular time. But what are the plans right now?
Well, first of all, we are one league. We are 20 teams strong, and we will work together. We'll find a way for all 20 OHL teams. Yes, the border is presenting a problem and challenge. It's premature at this stage to really know for sure what it may look like as we move into the new year. But there are different thoughts, different concepts that we're considering and discussing, particularly with the U.S. teams themselves. So it's going to take some creativity. But, Dave, I'm a great believer in the fact that through the work of many of the professional leagues who have made significant changes to the structure of their games and their playoffs, even the timing of the year in which they have played, I think the sport fan, the hockey fan, has come to understand that, there will be change. Within reason, we accept change.
Right.
We just want to see the game being played. And so that's where we're at, coming up with ideas, concepts that will be creative, but, meet the needs.
Well, I broadcast local sports here in Sioux, Michigan, and I've said all, and it don't matter if it's high school all the way up to college, junior, into the pros. That I call it sports on the fly, because we got to be able to pivot and change. The rules that you normally would have pretty much are thrown out the window now with what's going on. You got to be able to pivot and be able to adjust and have wiggle room.
Yeah, great comment, without question. And, hockey has been making, I believe, a lot of inroads in the area of not doing things this way because they've always been done that way. You know, in the past, very traditional in its views and attitudes and functions. I think there's certain traditions we must maintain, of course. But the new world, with or without the COVID virus, you know, is that you must understand we've got a different man. We've got young people in particular who look at things differently, how people watch sport, consume sport, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, fortunately, we've all been trying to move the needle on how we conduct our affairs, but this has really, really amped it up. And I think going forward, it's a great building block for our league to continue to grow and posture.
Some of the recommendations have been coming out from the government and been kicked around, and that is a possible changes like no body checking. You know, and a longtime hockey player and a hockey fan that I am, David, I'm still trying to wrap around in my head how that would work.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? The provincial sport minister in Ontario made that comment. The premier of the province, you know, somewhat at a different position to be taken. But at the end of the day, what everybody wants to do is to see, in our case, hockey return, and it sets a good example. It's a safe environment for our players and everyone involved. And as we gather more information on how we can best meet, you know, our aims and objectives of a safe sport, that will determine what we must or must not do, and so forth. So I'm not too excited about that area just yet. I mean, the bigger issues, as you've already described, is the border. Mm-hmm. And then as well, right now in Ontario, they're saying really no spectators. So, hey, these are the areas that we're focusing on, and also understanding the return to play requirements that all our teams and our member facilities must have. So that's where our time and energy currently is going.
The next couple of months pivotal in the plan for the OHL to come back, because, you know, training camps start, I believe, right after the, you know, pretty much after the start of the year, and then you get rolling from there to be able to prepare for the start in February.
Yeah, our training camps right now are slated to commence the 23rd of January. And, you know, that's our aim. That's our goal. And but as we said off the top here, the one thing we've all come to understand is you've got to be flexible. And we've got to make sure that it is a safe environment. And working with government and health agencies on the return to play, that's essential.
David, before I let you get going, a couple more questions. Attendance, obviously not full capacities, but we could see a percentage of fans, and obviously that will vary, and that's still a work in progress at this point.
Yeah, it is, very much so, based on the conditions. And right now in the province of Ontario, there are no spectators. When you look at the state of Michigan, there is the ability, as there is in the state of Pennsylvania, where the Erie Otters reside, to have some spectators, albeit very limited. But, hey, these things are ever-changing.
Right. And lastly, you know, Dave, you know, if you were to pick out one thing, and, of course, a hard question perhaps, because there's a lot of things out there, but if you were to pick out one thing, you know, about the OHL coming back, what keeps you up at night as far as you're concerned, if you were to pick one thing out of a multitude of areas?
Oh, boy. I mean, it's hard to pick out one thing, but the area that keeps surfacing in my mind is the deep responsibility that we have to the player and his development on and off the ice. And we don't in any way want to see that opportunity as to why they come to our league taken away. So that's all our time and energy is through the fact that we must do this for a lot of reasons, not least of which is the player and his ongoing development.
Dave, I really appreciate the time. Good luck with everything with the Ontario Hockey League, and we're certainly looking forward to the start of the OHL season, crossing our fingers, and, of course, locally to see Greyhound games here in Sault Ste. Marie come in February. Good luck with everything, and, again, thanks for taking time for discussing things and giving us an update on where the OHL is.
Oh, hey, thank you for taking the time to have this discussion. I've enjoyed it, and look forward to connecting with you once again down the road.
Sounds good. That's David Brantz, the commissioner of the Ontario Hockey League. We'll continue with more Coach's Corner in a moment on 1230 WSOO.
And welcome back to Coach's Corner as we close up shop here for this week's show. And I would like, again, to thank our guests here on Coach's Corner for joining us, Dr. David Pateson, Director of Athletics at Lake Superior State University, Ontario Hockey League Commissioner David Branch as well, to give us an update on the possible restart. We hope it will happen in February for Ontario Hockey League getting going and Greyhound games over on Rock 101. As well, we would certainly enjoy having the listening to those. And, of course, we are keeping our fingers crossed. Laker hockey supposed to start next weekend with Michigan Tech in town over on today's Hits 99.5 SFM. Billy Crawford at the mic. And Dr. David Pateson gave us an update on that and the restart to Laker basketball coming up after the first of the year. The game is Scott Nason on Monday night, 6 to 8 p.m. over on ESPN 1400. I will join Scotty in the first hour of this week's show, or Monday's show. In the second hour, it's Butch on Sports from Detroit. E.J. Russell from Escanaba will join Scotty on the roundtable. That's on ESPN 1400 Monday night, the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. The game on Monday night, 6 to 8 p.m. on ESPN 1400 and thegamesportsshow.com. Coach's Corner returns next Saturday morning, 11.05 a.m. till noon on 1230 WSOO. And, of course, we'll have another great show for you next Saturday. And a reminder, you can listen to today's Coach's Corner in podcast form. Go to podcast.1230wsoo.com. We'll have that up by hopefully by the end of the weekend. And, of course, I will let you know when it is up and running on our Facebook, 1230 WSOO Facebook page. When it's ready, the Sioux High game last night for Blue Devil football will be up there as well, albeit a loss, but we'll still post it on our podcast site. And on Scotty Nason's podcast site, of course, we're a part of that now, and we appreciate Scotty and the guys for letting us hop on board. For our guest today, Dr. David Pateson, again from Lake Superior State University Athletics, Commissioner David Branch of the Ontario Hockey League. I'm Dave Watson. Coach's Corner is a sports presentation of 1230 WSOO. That will do it for now. Until next time, we are out of here.
You've been listening to Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOO Sault Ste. Marie. Join us next week for an inside look at local sports in the Eastern UP.